What I'm going to say tonight will probably be one of the most simple sermons that you've ever heard in all of your life. But it's one of the sweetest promises that God has ever given to us. It's out of a strange book. You don't hear a lot of sermons preached out of this Old Testament book. It's a book by the name of Haggai. He's one of the minor prophets, and I understand since it's not preached from often, it's difficult maybe for you to go right to it in your Bible. It'd probably be easier for you to go to Matthew and just go back three books and you'll be right there at Haggai. He's considered a minor prophet, not because his message is less important, it's just that the book is short. And some of those were specific prophets designed to bring one message that God had given to them. The nation of Israel at this particular point is facing a great, great struggle. They're bouncing back from the ravages of war. And it just seems like that exile upon exile has come to them. And they feel so empty and they look at everything and they begin to feel hopeless. Like that nothing will ever change. It's like this. It's going to be like this. And I just don't know how things could be any different. But in the middle of all of that darkness, God hangs a cloud that shines with bright glory and says, "Wait a minute, I have something to say to you." And probably one of the sweetest promises that Israel could have heard came in the 13th verse of the first chapter of the book of Haggai. "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord." I pull out just four words that will be the title of this message. I am with you. I am with you. Now the reason that this message I feel is probably effective more than a lot of sermons that I could preach to you tonight is because everybody in here has seen troubles or know troubles or know about problems. Problems come at different times in different ways, but we all associate with problems. And they had a major problem here. And I started thinking in my life and in my ministry, and I jotted down some problems that I know that people faced. For example, there was a middle-aged man, and he was going through a very tough time in his life. His mother had died, and his father both have now died. Normally, he would have gone to them for advice, and he felt comfort whenever he was near them. On top of that, he not only misses his parents, but he's got children that are wayward, and he can't seem to bring his children together. They're at a place where they won't speak to one another, and they can't get along. You know, families have problems sometimes. The best of families have troubles. You may be sitting right here tonight and have a brother or sister. Maybe you have a relative. Maybe it's your mom or dad, or maybe it's a child that you haven't spoken to in years. You know what that pain is like, and people have this problem regularly. I get contacted almost daily or weekly by people that will tell me, "I haven't spoken to this one, haven't spoken." And it's sad to say, but some of you are down here in this meeting to get away from people in your own church that you don't like to talk to. There's people that worship together for years and never speak to one another. I better move on. That's not popular. Now, if that's not enough, the economy is suffering. And it's terrible. There's shortages now. And the price of things are going up so high that families are having a difficult time of making it. Here he is having this rough time, and it's also one of the roughest times in the area that he lives in. But out of the middle of all of that, God chooses to bless this man. God gives him great blessings and notoriety. And because he has this great notoriety, people get jealous of him. You know, some people will hate you just because you're blessed. They'll hate you for spiritually succeeding in life. They'll hate you for loving God. They'll hate you for God blessing you. They'll hate you for God meeting your needs and providing for you. So he's blessed, and people hate him because of that on three different occasions. God helps him raise up, and God helps him get established, and God blesses him with prosperity, and people come and take it from him. He has a lot to be discouraged about, and really, it's enough to make him want to give up. But four words. Four words. Changed everything. I think about a young man that he's run away from home. He probably would never have left home if there wasn't trouble in the home. But one of his family members want to kill him. And because the family member wants to kill him, he's forced to flee from home. He lives as a nomad, really. Nowhere to be able to settle down. Because somebody in his own family seeks to kill him. Now folks, can I give you a word of warning? You have no idea what's going on in the homes of people that you worship with every week. There are people that inside their homes it is a war zone. A mother told me last week in revival, "Preacher, pray for our family. I lock the door every night because I'm afraid my own child is going to kill me." How sad. Now we can bury our head in the sand and act like it doesn't exist, but it does exist. You don't know if your own child is in jeopardy inside the four walls of their own home. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. It happens across America in big cities, little cities, towns and villages every day of our life where somebody out of anger kills somebody else. Amen. He's fleeing and he's running and he's full of fear. But four words changed everything. I can't help but think also of a young man that's a hard worker and he's productive. And God blesses him because he works hard. And God gives him favor because he has a work ethic. I don't care what anybody says, I still believe if you work hard, God will bless you for your hard work. God honors hard work. We've gotten away from that. And I realize a lot of people may not be able to work like you used to work. But you would agree with me. The only reason that you've been able to make it is because you had a work ethic. And God honored you for the work ethic that you had. And you cherished the job that God gave you. And this man, he cherished his job. Unfortunately, though, he worked for bad people. Wicked people. In fact, one of his bosses was continually harassing him. She would harass him in private every time that they would be caught in situations alone. She would continue to harass him. And finally, one day she gets tired of him not wanting to receive her advances and her harassment. And he refuses what she has offered. And because of that, she takes this young man, files a false charge against him. They take him to a court of law and he winds up in prison. For being accused of something he didn't do that she was really guilty of. Forgotten. No lawyer to represent him. Nobody to hear his case. He's there all alone. But four words. Changed everything. I think of an 80-year-old man. He thinks his life and ministry is over. And at the age of 80, he's looking now at the latter years of his life. But God suddenly gives him a challenge to do a job that seems too big for him. He's 80 years old and he's feeble in body and he's weak and he's not able to do what he wants to do physically. And it seems like an impossibility. And God says, "I'm going to lead you to one of the hardest jobs that young man or old man could ever face. And I want you to do this because God says, I'm not changing my mind. You're the one. You need to do it." He is filled with fear and he cries to God and tells God all of his weaknesses. And he says, "Lord, I'm too feeble. I can't do it." But four words changed everything. I think of a young man that's just coming to the prime of life and he loves working under a man of God. And he's thrilled at being his associate. Thrilled at being there to lift up his hands and help him and to be a blessing to him. He's content, and as far as he's concerned, he'd love to stay in that position the rest of his life. But suddenly, his leader, his hero, dies unexpectedly. He doesn't even have the opportunity to attend his funeral. It's so quick and things happen so rapidly that it leaves him in a daze, and then he realizes the impression that this man has had, his communication with God, and he sees himself as being so weak, and he's saying, how can I fill the shoes of somebody like that? God, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But four words changes everything. I can't help but think of a young woman that she thinks, I'll never have anything in life. She was from the poorest of the poor families. She had no dowry. She had nothing that she could offer a man she felt that would ever, ever be worthy of a great husband. She thinks that her life will be insignificant. She has no education. She has no training. She has no ability to do anything like other great women around her. She'll never be anybody that aspires to greatness. They won't speak her name anywhere. She's just a young lady. Nobody knows her. Nobody even knows she exists. All hopes are gone. But four words changed everything. What's those four words? I gave them to you. I am with you. Now see, sometimes we read the Bible, here's the problem. We put it in our mind and categorize it like it's something that used to be, but we forget. People are the same today as they were in biblical times. And the problems that we face are problems that people faced years ago in the Bible. I mentioned the first individual to you. You know him well. His name is Isaac. His mother and father's dead. His children are at odds with one another. He digs three wells and God blesses him three times and they come and take it from him. And he says, Lord, I cannot do this. I cannot carry on. They do not want me here. They do not like me. People resent me. But God comes down and gives him that promise in Genesis 26:24. I am with thee. I tell you how you're going to make it, Isaac. I am with you. The next person I mentioned to you in your Bible, his name is Jacob. Jacob was that young man that had run away from home. He was a deceiver. Once he deceived, he crossed the line one day and he went too far. And because of that, he thought, surely my brother will kill me. So he spends 20 years running. And finally, God brings him back to the place where he says, no more will your head be pillowed on a stone. I'm bringing reunion back to your family. And he says, Lord, he'll kill me. That can never happen. But suddenly everything changes in Genesis 28:15 when God says, listen, Jacob, I am with thee. Today is the day of reunion in your family. There's some folks here that when you leave this place, you need to pick up the phone and call somebody that you haven't spoken to in years. And you need to get things right. And you say, preacher, I can't do that. Sure you can, because God said, I am with you. What about Joseph? Potiphar's wife said, I want you. He was guilty of doing nothing except working hard and being honest. He had gained favor from God. But you read over and over and over again in Scripture where the Lord confirms the fact that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph when he was in the palace. The Lord was with Joseph when he was in prison. He said, I am with you. They may have forgotten you. They may have made the promise that they'd tell the king about you and the way that you can take those dreams and visions and interpret them. They may have forgotten, but listen, Joseph, God never forgets. I am with you, Joseph. I'm not finished with you. I'm still with you. What about that 80-year-old man? His name's Moses. He felt the job was too big. But God said, wait a minute. I am with thee. What about the next man? Well, that's Joshua, the one that followed him. He said, I can't do this, Lord. And he said, wait a minute, Joshua. As I was with Moses, I know you're not Moses, but that's okay. You don't have to be Moses. I'm still going to be with you as I was with Moses. The same God that blessed Moses will bless you. Some of you are in places now, maybe in your church, where there's changes and things are rapidly changing because things that you have no control over. Preachers get older and sometimes they have to give up churches. The Lord leads preachers away. Sometimes there's people in your church that are prominent that suddenly the Lord calls them home. But I've got good news for you. It may be different and you may be afraid, but God says, I am with you. That's my church, purchased with the blood of my Son, paid in full with the blood of Jesus, and it's my church and I am with you. What about that little poor girl? Her name is Mary. When the angel said, Mary, I know that you don't think that you're going to be anything, but I've come with a great message. You're highly favored. Not only are you highly favored, but Mary, the Lord is with thee. And then suddenly the message changes because the word is used, Emmanuel. Which means, Mary, not only is the Lord with you, God's with us. Now, the greatest day in your life is when you begin to understand. You may face some problems. You may go through some things in life. But, oh, I've come with great news for you tonight. The Lord gives four words that changes everything. I am with you. You know what I learned through those days? When nobody else could seem to fix the problem and nobody else had the answer, day after day, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would speak to our heart and say four words. I am with you. You know how you make it through the troubles and trials of life? By securing the promise, I am with you. Preacher, when you go to church and you get up to preach and there's only a dozen people there and the devil sits on your shoulder and says, you're a failure. You're not doing anything great for God. You look him in the eye and say, wait a minute. I've got a promise that changes everything. The Lord says, I am with you. And God will never leave me nor forsake me. He's with us always, even to the end of this world. Thank God He is with us in Tennessee. He'll be with us when we leave this place tonight. He'll be with us when we make our journey back home. He'll be with us when we face sickness and trouble and trials. A lady last week was going into surgery, and as she went into surgery, and there she was going back in the operating room. Her family was there and they told them, you have to stay here. You can't go back with her into this major procedure. But she looked at the family. She said, it's okay because I heard a message that God said, I am with you. Thank God He'll be there when your family can't be there and your loved ones can't be there. I am with you. We come to camp meeting this year. It's so different because Brother Ed is not here. But I remind the band, the Lord still says, I am with you. I'm about to have a spell tonight. Thank God He never leaves us. I don't care what you're facing. You may have wayward children that you're praying night and day and seeking God to save their soul. And they're so addicted to drugs that you live in fear. But I've come with good news. God says there's four words that change everything. I am with you. I had never gone through what Jim and Beth have gone through. I've gone through a similar thing with my brother when he took his life. But I know it's not the same as a parent going through things of sudden death like that. But I've come with good news, Jim and Beth. The Lord says, I am with you. I don't care what we face. God's promise is sure. And God says, I am with you. Amen. Some of you have lost your job. You come down here by faith, not even knowing how you're going to make it another month. But God says, load up and get down to camp meeting. You know why you're here? Not to hear what I'm saying or what Mike's saying or Roger will say or to hear just the great songs. You've come because you need reconfirmed in your heart that God says there's four words that changes everything. I am with you. That makes all the difference in the world. If you'd allow me to tell you before I close tonight, I'm glad how God brings everything together at just the right time. When Candy was starting to do a little better, one day I had a couple pastor friends that they had special events at their church, and we were traveling to these towns. She said, I feel good enough. I think I want to go with you. We were in one of the cities, and I said, if you don't care, I'd like to go down these back streets. It's been a long time since I've been in that area. We got in town a little early, so I drove down one of the back streets, and I saw this little place, and boy, I tell you, my eyes welled up with tears. And Candy said, what are you crying about? I said, honey, I don't know if I've ever told you or not, but one of the greatest blessings I've ever had in my ministry took place right there. And I pointed to that little place. And she said, I didn't even realize that you'd been there. I said, oh yeah, I've been there different times. I said, it all happened several years ago, years and years ago. I was going to that town, in fact, to that same church for a revival. Someone called me and said, there's a little lady that I believe that you'd be blessed if you'd get a stop by and have prayer with her. I said, well, I'd love to. And I said, where she lived? They gave me the address. They said, now, preacher, when you get there, said, just knock on the door. Said, she never locks the door. She's been in bed. She's been bedfast for years and years. She never locks the door. And said, she's not able to walk. Not able to walk, not able to do anything hardly for herself. Said, just knock on the door and tell her who you are and just go right on in. Boy, I felt awkward. I stopped by and I thought, you know, if you deal with as many people that sometimes, you know, they mean well, but they have ways of directing preachers into tough places. So I knock on the door and thank the Lord I didn't have to turn the doorknob because I was a nervous wreck. I thought, I can't open up the door and just walk into this house. You know, now that would have been fine if it was Mom and Dad's house, but I wasn't at Mom and Dad's house. And I thought, what am I going to do? I knocked on the door and the door cracked open. And I said, hello? And she said, Calvin Ray Evans, come on in. Said, Jesus told me you'd be by for a visit today. Boy, I knew I was at home. I walked in and here's this little, you wouldn't believe the size of this little place. She's lying in a bed there and it's in the middle of summer and it's hot. I'm sweating and she's got quilts stacked up that thick on top of her and her little arms sticking out. And there she sat, clapping her hands. She said, oh, I have always wanted to meet you. She said, I had prayed and prayed, and the Lord said, well, if you want to meet him, I'll just send him by today. So she said, I knew you were coming. I got to talking to her, and the more I talked to her, the more blessed I got. I asked her how long she'd been there, years and years. And I said, well, I'm curious, and I don't mean to create any problems. And if you think that I'm meddling, just tell me so. But I just wonder. I'm just curious. I said, how do you live? I said, do you have somebody that brings you food? She said, every day. Usually it's somebody else. She said, all my family's dead, preacher. They're all gone. Said, the little church I went to, now it's down until they just barely every now and then can open up to have a prayer meeting of maybe 3 or 4 or 5 people. They've all forgotten about me. She said, but you know something? The Lord's not forgotten about me. She said, Jesus is always right here. Right here every day. And I said, well, what do you do? She said, I just wake up in the morning and tell him what I want to eat. And she said, it won't be very long till somebody will come by and they'll say, do you like that? She said, like that? I ordered that. They said, what do you mean you ordered it? Said, well, said, I asked the Lord and the Lord put it on your heart and said, that's just fine. And she said, people come. She said, my door's never locked. I'm here all the time. And she said, some people say, aren't you sad that you're all alone? She said, I'm never alone. The Lord is always with me. said, every day I pray for one thing, my daily bread. And she said, once I get that, I talked it over with the Lord and I promised God never to ask for any more, just for my daily bread. She said, I'm an old woman and I've never wasted anything and I hate to have a bunch of stuff here when Jesus calls me home. So all I want is what I need for today. I'm telling you, the more that she talked, the happier she got. And she was clapping her hands and praising God. And in the middle of all that, I reached into my pocket, got what money I had. And when I got ready to leave after I prayed, I stuck it in her hand. The only time in my ministry this has ever happened, she looked at that money and she said, I can't take that. And I said, why not? She said, I said, God will bless me for it. You'll deprive me of a blessing. She said, oh no, you're blessed already. Said, you're fine for today. She handed it back and I said, would you please take it? She said, I can't. God's already met my needs today. And I don't want to leave anything behind. You know what changed her? Well, glory to God. You know what changed her life? Four words. I am with you. I've seen people go through it time and time again. I've got a brother-in-law in this service tonight that he battled leukemia and they finally gave him a transplant and he was in an isolation ward years ago and people couldn't get into him. It was a secured lock facility. You'd have to scrub down, go in between an interlocking chamber and look through a little glass pane in the door to be able to speak to him through a speaker. And I've asked him many times, you were there for all those weeks, week after week after week. I said, it must have been hard being there where people couldn't get in that loved you to touch you. And he's told me time and time again, the Lord was always right there. You know how he made it? Four words. I am with you. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to go. Go ahead and shout, Todd. You've got a right to shout. I'm telling you, we all would have been done years ago had it not been for the fact that God stood by us when nobody else understood and nobody else knew what to do. God was there for us, never failed us, never left us, never forsook us. I don't care who you are, you'll go through some things in life. And the devil will say, where's your God at now? Where's he at? You know what you ought to be able to do? You ought to look back and say, I'll tell you where he's at. He's with me. For he said, I am with you. You don't check him out when you leave church on Sunday. You better take him to work with you on Monday. You better take him with you every step of the journey. You better have him in the middle of the night. I am with you. You may come to the place that you lose your mind, don't recognize your own friends and your own family. We had a precious couple in our church, Jim and Lee Creech. And Lee came down with that terrible dementia. She got so that she was polite, but she didn't know me. I'd stop and visit her. The Lord knew I was there, but she didn't know I was there. Then suddenly Jim was called home quickly. Oh, what a servant. What a great man. There she was in that nursing facility and her son and daughter-in-law and kid, grandkid. They were so kind. They were all so kind. But you know, when it come time to preach her, funeral, I was talking to her son. And I said, Greg, during those final weeks, I know it had to be hard on you. And he said, you know, preacher, amazingly, God took care of that. I said, is that right? He said, yes. I said, did you know all the time that Mom was getting near making her crossing, every moment that she was awake, she thought one of two things. She thought she was either at home in her recliner, or she thought she was at church. He said it didn't matter if they were serving dinner. She might be singing a song. She thought she was at church.
Isn't that precious to think that God says, I am with you? I'm feeling this tonight. Praise God. I am with you. Pastor, God says, I am with you. Deacon, God says, I am with you. Singer, God says, I am with you. I am with you. Four words changed everything. And tonight, I pray those four words give you comfort and help that only God can give to you. I am with you.